Tonight, James gives you homework for the season. Mike runs out to go cooking. And Jorn is a very silly kitty that stares at weird things for no reason, and I don't know what he's doing right now, but he's starting to freak me out. This is Couch Potato Mike from SurvivalPug.com.
You douchebag.
What happened? It stopped. Oh, there it goes.
This is James from SurvivalPunk.com.
And this is still Couch Potato Mike from SurvivalPunk.com and mainly CouchPotatoMike.com and all of YouTube and your mother's house.
Yeah.
How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm here. It's
fucking Wednesday.
It is Wednesday, so the podcast should be out and not being recorded.
But it'll be out tomorrow.
I was gonna come home this morning because I work nights and do a solo episode, and I had it all plotted out. And I got home and
had a headache.
I got a pounding ass headache and couldn't think straight. And I was like, okay, yeah, I could record the podcast and put it out.
Who the fuck would want to listen to that? I don't know, something survivalish, fucking shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have...
God, ramekins.
Would not have been... I don't feel that the quality would have been good because I had a headache and could not have, you know, spoken on the microphone so eloquently. So I was like, I asked Mike if he wanted to record one this evening when he got off of work. And he was like, yeah, so that's what we're going to do because I feel that the episodes with Mike add value. And people enjoy them, and I enjoy them more, which is the important part. Some of the solo episodes get, I don't know, kind of boring.
Now you're making me feel all warm and squishy.
Yeah, and it's funny how, like, the Survival Punk group, if you're not on it, you need to be. Even if you make a fake Facebook account and go join the Survival Punks group, just use it for that group. That's fine with me. And I know some of the people don't use Facebook because, you know, the government's controlling them and everything else, blah, blah, blah.
It's all a conspiracy.
Yeah. But yeah, for that, just make a fake account and just get on there. People were posting there today earlier that in another group on Facebook that you shouldn't join, whatever that group is, because they sound like a bunch of dumb fucks. Someone was like, my plan for the shit hitting the van is the fact that I am obese. And I'm going to live off of my fat stores.
You're not obese, dude.
No, that was what the person posted.
Oh, that they're going to live off their fat
stores. They're going to live off their fat stores.
You mean like a camel?
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
Like a big fat fucking camel. A big fat useless fucking camel.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God.
You know, the fattest person on the fucking planet without any food whatsoever will starve to death within 12 days.
No.
You have to have food.
You do.
Unless you're in some kind of a weird 1966 thing where you're eating nothing but water and supplements constantly.
Right, right. I just recently found out about
a scientific
study where a guy that was obese at 1966 standards, he was like, I think, pushing 400 pounds, which is still pretty damned hefty.
Oh, yeah.
Like 387 pounds or something like that. 300-something pounds.
That's still a hell of a lot more than I was at my top.
Me too, yeah. I topped out at 300 pounds, the biggest I've ever been.
You were at 300 at one point?
Yeah, dude.
Damn.
I was bloated.
I knew you were big, but I didn't know you were fucking 300 pounds big.
Yeah.
You carried it relatively well.
Ugh.
My top, I was 310. Right now, I'm riding solid at about 270.
Yeah.
I've lost 40 pounds. I need to lose a lot. My goal is to lose another 80 pounds.
And we can help you out with that. We have a couple of things we're going to do.
And I am participating in all of this.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why, and we'll tell you later about the Survival Punk Fitness Challenge. I picked it so that people could, everyone should be able to do it, regardless of their fitness level. But yeah, some guy in 66 that was obese went a year with only water and and minerals and supplements under the supervision of a doctor, which completely would not be allowed to do anymore because of ethicals and blah, blah, blah.
And how much weight did he lose in that year?
He got from whatever he was at pushing 400 down to 180.
Jesus Christ. So he lost at least 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. He did that by starving himself. That's essentially what he was doing. His body was getting the fucking nutrients it technically needed, but still.
Yeah. And obviously he, I want to read more about this guy. I want to find some more accounts of it. And I want to know, did it last? Did it stick? Or did he just gain the weight right back? So that's all I know about him is that a guy did go a year without food, but it was highly, highly monitored by physicians and was supplemented. What?
Oh, nothing. I just realized that my fucking timer, reset itself at some point. That pisses me off. So now I have no idea when my fucking meatloaf's done.
7:30 probably is when you need to check it.
I don't know.
Message your wife, see what the timer is. Anyway, yeah, so that guy. And so today we're going to talk all about the main topic. Let's let Mike do his job.
Tonight. Oh, wait. I was about to go
right into that.
No. Let's see. Survival Punk Spring Diet Cleanup and Fitness Challenge. Why bother dieting? Seasonally evaluate your diet and
GPP.
Like I said, GPPPO. And what has and hasn't been working on your diet? Go back to the basics, and I'm pretty much giving away all the shows that are coming up.
Yeah.
We're talking about a bunch of stuff that's going to get you healthy, fuckers.
Yeah, so basically, I believe that a lot of things need to be done seasonally. Seasonally, you need to check your preps. Evaluate your expired food, and if you want to rotate to fresher food. Fitness and weight loss. And just general healthiness needs to be evaluated seasonally as well. You may slide and start slacking off, and, you may not notice. And since this is spring going into summer, it's a good time. Because I know a lot of us have kind of pudged up over the winter. Pudged. Mike, probably one of the exceptions.
I slimmed down.
He got healthier during the winter time mm-hmm. and dropped off some weight. But like he said, he still has some more to go.
80 pounds at least. My goal weight's 190.
Yeah.
The weight I was when I met my wife.
Yeah. So Mike has a goal, and you have been at your current weight for a couple weeks. You said, I think about a month, if not longer.
For some reason, I plateaued at fucking 270.
So, yeah. It's, and what really prompted me to this, and the group resonated well on their own.
You got another Band-Aid, by the way.
I'd have lots. I gave your wife like three, but...
I know. This is my second one, because I got the first one wet. She gave me two, and I fucking butchered myself trying to cut up rutabagas.
Oh, yeah. I was reading the book, Wired to Eat by Rob Wolf. And actually got a copy for review from him. Awesome. Happy about that.
Sweet.
And fingers crossed, I'm working on getting New York Times best-selling author Rob Wolf on the podcast.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Who is he again?
New York Times best-selling author Rob Wolf. And,
oh, yeah, that guy.
iTunes, top podcaster for the Paleo Solution podcast.
I think he was on Celebrity Apprentice.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, I'm just never seen that I'm show. Pulling bullshit out of
Yeah, I don't know. I doubt it. He was on an episode of... He was on a... Morgan Spurlock did a show called I, Caveman, where they made a bunch of people live like cavemen for like a month or so. And basically, you saw a bunch of guys starve. Although he took down an antelope with, I think, an atelatl.
Atelatl?
Yeah, basically
an atelatl.
It's a stick that you launch an arrow with.
Wait, huh?
Because of the angle it's at, it.
You flick it and it throws the arrow.
Yes,
atelatl.
Atelatl.
That's really fun to say.
I know.
You didn't shut your door.
It's mostly shut.
Yeah, shutish. Okay. Atelatl. We were talking about atelatls.
So yeah. In his book, he talks about, one, doing a 30-day reset, which I will be doing, and that's just basically basic paleo. Just back to the basics.
Just go back to the basic, your whole, your big, your paleo thing, just straight paleo as you can get.
Yeah, because...
That first, that 30-day trial period where you cut out all your stuff, your dairy, and your legumes, and your grains, and your, anything processed.
Right, because stuff...
And all sugar!
Yeah. So first, why bother dieting?
Why bother dieting?
That's good. Because,
well,
it's, I don't really like to say the word dieting, but that, it, I mean, that's
it's
commonly,
a lifestyle choice.
It is a lifestyle choice.
See, a diet is something you hate. A diet is something that you have to do to lose 3 dress sizes so you can go to your cousin's wedding and look like a hot bitch. That's what a diet is. A diet is a quick fix. It's a band-aid to a problem that you have.
And if you want that, if you want a quick fix and a band-aid to go to your sister or cousin's wedding and look hot.
And you know how to do that, too. You won me a contest.
I'm available for personal coaching for that. And you will do it.
Oh, God.
For a nominal fee, by the way.
Pissed me off when they moved the date of the last weigh-in. Because I spent the whole night before there, you know, dehydrating myself.
Oh, yeah.
I'd taken the, like, a steam, is my last stitch effort. I'd taken a steaming hot bath to, like, freaking.
Yeah.
Ooh.
There's a bunch of tricks you can do. And, yeah, fighter style dehydration is one of them.
I got to work and I'm like, all right, when's the weigh-in? They're like, weigh-in's on Monday. I'm like, no, the weigh-in's on Wednesdays. And they're like, no, well, we're doing it on Monday because a couple of people are missing. I'm like, okay, I'll buy 3 Gatorades, please.
Yeah. So, yeah, why bother? Probably because you're eating like shit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people. I know a lot of people listen to my podcast do actually eat better, or they begin to eat better.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get – your survival hinges on your fitness, your health level. I mean, obviously, if you eat like shit, you're going to get heart attack or cancer and die.
I mean
– that fails the rule of survival.
Yeah.
So – why should you diet? You should eat better to survive.
Yep.
I mean, if you're even interested in survival and you're eating like a fucking asshole, then turn off the podcast so you can go die of a coronary.
I've got a backpack that can carry 300 pounds and make it feel like it's 15 ounces. I've got a sleeping bag that I can survive 300 degrees below the fucking, below absolute zero. I've got 500 years worth of Twinkies in there, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm living on, because they never go bad.
Well, they do, and that's not going to help you perform optimally. And
nothing but Twinkies.
Yeah, so...
Twinkies and Mountain Dew.
The ill health ailments that come from obesity, type 2 diabetes, coronary increased risk. I mean, the number one killer of people in America, do you know what it is, Mike?
My diet.
Heart attack. Coronary disease.
Let's see. And because,
cardiac.
And this is a cautionary tale to all of you out there. Because I just spent many years having a very sedentary lifestyle and eating whatever the fuck I want, I am currently trying to fight my way away from diabetes because I now take 2 medications for diabetes every day. I'm supposed to be testing my blood sugar, but I've actually got that pretty well under control with this new diet. I also have high blood pressure and high cholesterol, but I don't really pay attention to the cholesterol.
Yeah, and that's just that one. Like,
I mean,
there's so many
high blood pressure and diabetes. I mean,
yeah.
And those both caused by the fact that I would used to, on the way home from work, I would stop at Walmart. I'd get a box of Twinkies, and it would be empty by the time I got to my driveway.
Yeah.
That's like 8 or 10 Twinkies.
Wow. Well, one time I stopped at a Little Caesars and on the drive home ate the entire pizza.
The hot and ready pepperoni.
And when I reached for another slice to close it and it was empty, I'm
oh,
fuck me.
I did that on the drive.
Yeah.
That pizza didn't even exist.
No, it didn't.
And I used to believe that. I mean, I didn't believe it, but that was a rule. I'm like, car food doesn't count.
Oh, God. Car food's the worst food.
Yeah, because you know, if your wife doesn't see the food, then you didn't eat it.
Oh, well, I don't have the wife excuse. But yeah, I think we've defined that, yeah, you probably need to be on a diet, a.k.a. a lifestyle choice of eating that makes more sense than the standard American diet.
America!
Which basically is fast food and Twinkies. So
fast food and Twinkies.
We recommend paleo, and we'll talk about that a little bit. So, like we said,
cupcakes and crispy cream.
Seasonally evaluate your diet and GPP. GPP stands for General Physical Preparedness.
Or as I like to call it, GPPPA.
Yeah, so finding a definition for general physical preparedness, GPP, is kind of hard. It has a lot of definitions, but I will define it as thus.
GPPPA.
It's the ability to perform any task moderately well that you need to. So whatever life throws at you, you should be able to generally tackle it.
Yeah.
If you need to run and jump. So as a prepper, having physical preparedness of the general nature should appeal to you. Mm-hmm. You don't know, like, so CrossFit, to be prepared for the known and the unknowable, the CrossFit Games. Does that not sound like what a prepper should be prepping for?
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you may not ever be interested in, but the CrossFit Games athletes get thrown the craziest variable stuff, and you kind of see some of the top performers generally tend to do well on these things. And if they don't, the next time they happen to see them, they do better because they find a weakness and they work on it.
And generally, a lot of the things you do in CrossFit are like stuff that your body's actually might need in a survival situation.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of people are like, oh, it's just stupid lifting weights and doing this and that. But I feel that as a human, you should be able to perform lifting, pulling, climbing, jumping, running.
Throwing,
yeah.
Like that exercise where you throw the medicine ball up the wall.
Yeah, wall balls.
Yeah, wall balls.
Fucking hate wall balls.
People are
yeah.
like, when the hell would I ever use wall balls? Well, what if, you know, you got one guy that's up on the roof or up on top of the wall, and you're trying to get all your shit over the wall, and you have to stand down there and throw it all up to him.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you can get...
Because the zombies are coming.
You can get a spare backpack, fill it with, like, sand or something, and call them, like, wall bobs. Wall bobs. Wall bug out bags.
Wall bobs.
Yeah, you got to throw your bug out bag up and catch it. Yeah.
Or you could just call, let's see, bug out, wall load bag.
Bulb. Butt load?
I don't know.
Oh.
Bulb.
Yeah. So
bowel.
Seasonally.
Your bowels! Throw your bowels over the wall.
Seasonally evaluate your diet. You may think that your diet is going well, but every season, all four of them, even if you live in a place that technically doesn't have seasons, like
the Philippines
or Tennessee that has four seasons in a day, you know, by the spring, summer, fall, and winter, evaluate your diet and performance.
We've seen four seasons in 1 week in this fucking state.
We have.
Literally, it was 80 degrees one day and 31 degrees the next.
And snowing, yeah.
That's psycho.
Yeah. So, yeah. Bowels. Evaluate your diet and see that if the things that you're doing are actually working. Like, Mike has been on a month-long stall. Maybe something in there is niggling him. I have put on a few pounds with vacations and shit. I need to reevaluate that. And I'm going to talk about some things that I think are the problem, and I'm going to work on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Next, what has and what hasn't been working on your diet?
I think my scale is completely broken.
Yeah. I'm, for a couple months, maybe, I am going to cut out my delicious bulletproof coffee.
Oh, my God, not the coffee.
The bulletproof.
You can't function without caffeine.
The bulletproof part of that. I'm going to go back to black coffee. Black like my soul.
Hey, once you go back, you end up in a wheelchair.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to that and, plain tea and water.
Very hot.
And I'm going to cut out some of the, I've gotten a little out of control with the energy drinks, the bulletproof coffees.
Well, it's because you work a nighttime shift job. Your biological clock's been fucking negatives.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to cut out some of those, sodas, diet sodas have crept back up and, they need to be cut back out again.
Yeah.
So it's...
Diet sodas give you cancer anyway.
Well, everything gives you cancer. So yeah, what hasn't... So yeah, for me, that... I'm not sure, but I've been... For My dinner, I've been eating a lot of homemade coleslaw, which I take a bag of shredded cabbage and whatnot and carrots, and I add some mayonnaise to it. The mayonnaise, probably not the best quality on the paleo diet, and I probably need to cut out that fancy Southern Duke's mayo.
Is there such a thing? Because, I mean, the main ingredients of mayonnaise is like an egg and a jar of oil. Can you make mayonnaise with coconut oil? Or would it just, like, become a brick?
I don't know. You can make mayonnaise at home with all of the ingredients all being paleo, you know, like an egg white and olive oil and...
Wait, you don't use the yolk?
No, you just use the white.
Because I always was taught you use the whole egg.
I don't know.
No, on all those infomercials, when they first came out with those hand blenders...
Yeah.
Yeah, they were making it with a whole egg. They just take a jar of cooking oil and put an egg in there and then like pull it up and then boom, mayonnaise.
Yeah.
It's a whole egg.
And you got to drizzle in the, yeah, so I mean I've made mayonnaise one time and I would
recommend using olive oil. It's a better oil and it's good in omega-3 fatty acids.
Yeah, and most of like the number
I knew that.
Yeah.
I've picked shit up.
The main ingredient in most mayonnaise is like soybean oil, not exactly the best.
Have you ever tried to oil a soybean?
No.
No. It's wasting your time.
Soybeans
are from the devil, Bobby Boucher.
That needs to be eliminated. In the Rob Wolf's new book, Wired to Eat, it has a template for paleo, you know. Back to the basics, you know, no grains, no beans, no legumes, no processed food, no sugars, you know, veggies, meat, some fruits. If you're trying to lose weight, maybe less fruits. No dairy, you know, do that for 30 days. Evaluate how you look and feel after the 30 days.
Dear dairy, I have to give up the fruit.
And then in that book, after the 30 days, he has something he wants you to do called a 7-day carb test. And
7 days?
7-day carb test.
I've never taken a test that takes 7 days.
Well, it's only like a couple hours. I mean, it's a few minutes worth of work. So what it is for 7 days, and when I get him on, I'm going to have to ask him about this because I got some questions. So he has a table of a bunch of different carb sources, fruits, vegetables, roots and stuff. Nothing containing gluten. There's some gluten-free bread slices in there. And what you do is, for mornings, you wake up, don't eat any food except for 50 effective grams of a carbohydrate source. So, like...
Effective grams.
You subtract your fiber from it. So if it's a highly fibrous thing, you have to eat more to equal 50 grams of effective carbs. So what'll effectively be 50 grams? So... Minus.
Is that basically like when I see the carbs on a label and I see that there's also dietary fiber and I subtract the dietary fiber from the carbs?
Yeah, that left amount. So you need to get to 50 grams after you subtract that. So keep adding it up. And it's best to use like a food scale to weigh it to know right. But you can get away with like a measuring cup or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Ish. It has like – so like – a little over one cup of white rice is 50 grams. So, and you eat everything plain, which some of the stuff seems like it would be a pain in the ass. Like,
see, that's a problem with me and white rice. The only way I can eat white rice is by loading it with sugar.
Which is ridiculous because it's basically pure sugar anyway.
But it ain't sweet sugar.
No.
It's blood sugar.
Yeah, well, I mean, the test is not supposed to be like a great, fun, wonderful time. You eat plain 50 grams of these carbs and then you set a timer. So you eat your 50 grams of carbs, you wait 2 hours, you're still not eating anything. So you eat them, wait 2 hours, then you do a blood glucose test and see what your results are. And it shows you personally how you deal with these carb loads. So like maybe you eat white rice and you've got crazy diabetic blood sugar levels 2 hours later, and you're like, okay, so I don't respond well to white rice. If you're an Asian background, you know, if you have Asian ancestry, you may do really well on white rice. Like, you may eat it and it not really adversely affect your health. So you can add that back in as a carb source, you know, to get a little extra fuel. Or you may do really poorly, like I said, you know, diabetic blood sugar levels be thrown out the window and not, you know, obviously white rice is not a thing you need to add in your diet. But maybe you test, maybe you have like Italian ancestry. So you try lentils and you test your blood sugar on that and you do perfectly well on lentils. So that's the thing that you add into your diet. You know, it's like that book and that book is really focusing a lot on, there's a general template that you can give people for better health, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow strict paleo, that works for a lot of people. But some people, there may be little things here, little things there. So to make it work best, you have to tailor suit it for your needs. And that's what the blood glucometer comes in. And I was like, I'll either borrow Mike's or I'll just go buy one. They're cheap and... The one I want, the Precision Extra, which is like $20, whatever, you can, if you get the strips, test your blood ketone levels with it, which I'm also interested in. So
interesting.
Yeah. Although the blood ketone strips are expensive as fuck.
Oh, yeah. They're harder to find, too.
Yeah, yeah. There's only a few people that make them. I've tried to contact Chinese bootleggers to import them to sell them myself because they're so hard to find.
We're going to sell you strips so you ketone. Whoa.
And basically the FDA is fucking everyone over. So
they're one of all of our Asian listeners.
Yeah. We don't have any, I don't think.
I'm such a racist bastard.
Yeah. So I definitely think that you should pick up the book. I'll have a link in the show notes to pick up Wired to Eat. I got a free copy. Then I went and bought a...
Adelotto?
I bought it on Audible with one of my Audible credits.
Oh, an Audible.
So I could listen to it because I'm a lazy reader.
I don't read with my eyes. I read with my ears, fuckers.
Yeah, I have time, so. Yeah. I just have time to kill every day, so it makes it easier to listen than it does to read.
Where are you? Hold yourself accounted and check yourself before you wreck yourself, bitch.
Yeah, so you need to evaluate what you're doing and hold yourself accountable. And in this situation, it's good to get friends on board. So you can be like, how you doing today, buddy? Well, I did this. You know, it's okay.
Have you ever actually said, how you doing today, buddy, to any of your friends?
I say that to you every day.
You say, how you doing there? How you doing today, buddy?
Don't you remember? I said it like 3 seconds ago.
Yeah. As an exemplatory measure.
Yeah.
I say hidey ho, good neighbor, more to you than you say, how you doing there, buddy?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times.
I've got a dog named Buddy. I don't even say that to him.
Yeah. Yeah. So get friends and family on board so you can hold each other accountable. And
aww.
It's, if you're in sort of like an accountability group like that, it's easier for you to stay on because you're like, oh, I don't want to fuck up because Mike's doing so good. And I don't want to be a fuck up when Mike's doing good, you know. And if, you know, you need support, you're there for each other. And it's like...
That's why fucking CrossFit's so popular.
Oh, it's... Yeah, it's like a... I mean, it is. It's like an old-day religious cult that is positive and good for the most part. There are some bad gyms, but there's a lot more good ones.
All right.
I mean, it's got to be doing something right to have more locations than Starbucks.
Wow.
Boom. Drop the mic, walk away.
Does that mean China also has, like, counterfeit CrossFit gyms?
Maybe.
I mean, they have counterfeit Starbucks.
I had a friend that was a CrossFit coach, and she went to Hong Kong to teach CrossFit. So,
Kong Hong
Fu. It was a big enough need that she went over there. So now she travels the world teaching CrossFit on desert island paradises.
Okay, that is an oxymoron.
Well,
it's either an island paradise or a desert island.
Island paradise, yeah. It's okay. Like she just left Thailand, and she's in... what was that place that Top Gear went?
The Gilligan Islands?
No. Top Gear, come on.
The Isle of Man?
No.
Africa.
Bali? No.
No. Yeah. The Ukraine?
Malaysia.
Malaysia? Did they have a Malaysian special?
They did have a Malaysian special.
I don't remember a Malaysian.
Wasn't that the truck, the lorry episode?
The No, the Lori episode. That was the fucking Golden Triangle. The Burma special.
Burma. Maybe that's where she's at. It's somewhere over
Myanmar.
There. Myanmar. Yeah. Yeah. So you may think you're doing good, but it's good every once in a while, especially on like one of these seasonal resets, to check yourself. So use, like, if you have a smartphone or access to a computer, use tools like MyFitnessPal on your phone and track a couple of the meals you eat. So I don't always recommend weighing and measuring because it's a pain in the ass and you probably won't do it.
But when I do, it's Dos Equis.
But yeah, I mean, generally people tend to eat a couple of the same meals over and over. So check those meals. Weigh and measure them. Enter the macros or enter the information into the MyFitnessPal and then see what the macros are. Maybe you're actually way overeating in calories. Like,
I lost 15 pounds eating tacos every night.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it wasn't like Taco Bell. I was making my own tacos at home.
Yeah.
So the only carbs I was getting was the tortillas.
Yeah. And maybe if you did the tortillas on a carb test, you'd find out that you respond well to carbs or well to those particular carbs.
Oh, I love them carbs.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I was calling it the taco diet. It's Mexican paleo.
Yeah, so just enter in a couple of these meals and test yourself and see if it's actually, you know, working. Like, I heard an example from someone that was like, it was an obese guy and he was following paleo, eating all paleo approved foods, and his weight loss was basically just trickling off, not really doing anything. And they actually dug into it, and they're like, okay, so what do you have between lunch and dinner? And he's like, oh, I have a snack of cashews. How many cashews you're eating? Oh, you know, one of those Costco-sized containers.
Wait, what? Between lunch and dinner?
He was eating a whole container from Costco of cashews.
You know, those things have carbs in them.
Not only that, but they're probably about 3,000 calories.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's basically eating his entire...
Just because you watch carbs doesn't mean that calories no longer count.
Well, even in that, and they still have some, but yeah, basically overeating on a source like that, like, obviously it's palatable enough that you're able to eat a whole fucking canister. Maybe you need to eat another meal in there. Or maybe you need to restrict yourself to just a palm, you know, an ounce or two of those cashews. Yeah, so... That's why I said, yeah, track it. And if you see that, like, yeah, every day you're eating cashews and those cashews are pushing your calories up by 3,000, you might want to stop that.
Okay, I will be right back. Are you pausing or are you going to keep going?
I'm
going
to keep going.
Oh, you keep going then.
Don't trip over the wire.
Don't talk about me behind my back.
Yeah, so check your calories, check your macros. I've done that before, and generally I tend to be pretty where I need to be. Sometimes I'm not, though. Like I said, if I was to enter in some of the, like, the mayo and stuff I'm eating now, maybe that's pushing me over. Maybe that's a problem. Maybe cheat days need to be reduced, and for 30 days I'll not have a cheat day, so that'll be fine. For at least 30 days, maybe more. Go outside and play. So this has multiple things that are good for you. One, you get outside, you get some vitamin D. You're probably severely lacking in vitamin D unless you're a professional surfer in Hawaii or California. You probably don't have enough of the D. And, you know, you're active. And most people tend to be more sedentary than they are active, especially nowadays. So, get outside, get active, find something you like doing, friends, family, have some fun, meet some new people, you know, get on Meetup and go pick up a game of Ultimate Frisbee or something, which is fun and very active. Something to do, you know, maybe you like Frisbee, maybe you want to play, I don't know, Frisbee golf or just regular Frisbee. Maybe you want to take up boulder climbing or... I don't know, track and field. Find something that you enjoy doing, and it doesn't necessarily have to be outside, but that's a double whammy. That's a plus there. And do it. Generally, most people don't fucking love running on a treadmill. They don't. But there's usually something that's like, oh, I love doing this. This is fun. And you'll do it. And it's not like, it's not like exercise and a chore, and your likeliness to do it goes way up if you are having fun. It's just the way it is. People are lazy. Humans, we've evolved that way to basically survival mechanism in our ancestral days was to eat more, move less. That's the way we're wired. Unfortunately, with our shitty food in abundance and entertainment, way over the top entertainment, it's fucking us over. I mean, eat more, move less when you have hyper palatable foods with shit tons of calories that you're overeating on, and it has more calories, and it's not really stuff that our ancestors would recognize as food and not good for us. And, you know, you're locked into playing World of Warcraft for 13 hours a day while chugging down a big lug and, you know, nachos or whatever. It's not good for you. And the trying to talk yourself into going and running on a treadmill or taking a spinning class, it's probably not going to work. You know, finding an activity with friends, being social and being active and having fun will, you know, like me and Serenity, we went to a trampoline park and that was fun. And I can't wait to go again. You know, that was fun. Playing with Mike Frisbee in the park, that's fun. Chasing around, you know, his kids and playing and running and jumping and climbing on the park, I like that too. Basically a big fucking monkey. So yeah, and you get some vitamin D by being outside. Or if you go inside, then it's still active. But try to get outside and do a little something to get a little vitamin D. Well, I wish Mike would come back. I really only have about one thing left, kind of on the short episode side. But, well, let's see what else I got. So yeah, just seasonally, you wanna tidy up your diet there. And you may think you're doing good and you're not. So screw it. I'm just gonna jump into the challenge. So in the Survival Punks group, we do challenges. And this one will be the monster of all challenges. And it'll be the fitness challenge. I may do some other mini challenges here and there as well, but this one will be a 6-week long Survival Punk fitness challenge. My thinking on this was I wanted to make it both. I wanted to have the most people do this and have a clear defined improvement on fitness. And I wanted the most amount of people to be able to do it. And the people that are more fit to be able to still get some value out of it. But, and I didn't want to have any equipment. So basically I wanted the biggest bang for my buck. So that everyone would get something and more people would be willing to do it. Obviously the first thing I came up with was going to be so hard, I felt that compliance and participation would drop off and just wouldn't. If no one does it, then it's not going to help anybody. And I want to help as many people, myself and Mike, as possible. So, and I wanted it to be, have clear, defined value for being a better survivalist afterward. Sorry, I'm not Mike Tyson. Survivalist. So all of these things will help you be a better survivalist. You'll be able to better escape and evade. You'll be better to bug out. Whatever you need to do, you'll only be better at it after this challenge. And I didn't necessarily want people to be competing with everyone else, because You know, we have some really fit motherfuckers in the Swamp Punks group. And if the laziest couch potatoist person is competing against the most fit, you know, CrossFit elite athlete, it's going to get discouraging. So we're going to show off our fitness achievements, but you're only competing with yourself, i.e., it's two parts, and both parts are timed. So each week for 6 weeks, you're trying to beat your previous week's time. And that increase is, you know, the percentage that you want to do. So if you can cut off seconds or minutes off of your times, that's great. And you're not, like, trying to catch up. You know, you can compete. Like, I love competing, you know. And I would love to be number one top winner. That would be awesome. And I'm competitive enough to try to make it happen. And maybe someone else is not as competitive and will not try that. But I think it's general enough that everyone will be able to compete. And since you're competing with yourself, it takes off some of that. But there are other numbers for you to shoot for. So you can be like, oh, I'm pretty close to Kevin up there. Yeah, Kevin. So I'm going to try really hard this week to try to beat Kevin. In your face, Kevin! You know, maybe Matt sees that competition's getting kind of tight. And Matt French from Oklahoma, he's like, well, fuck, I used to be a Marine. I can catch these motherfuckers. I got the mental fortitude to tough it out and do what I need to do. And, you know, yeah, there's some competition, but it's all good competition. And, you know, it makes all of us better. Better people, better group, better preppers. So, to quit dilly-dallying, what is the Survival Punk Challenge? And Mike's still not back, so I'm just going to tell you what it is. First part, what is your 2-mile time? And this needs to be on foot. So, some of you can flat out run for 2 miles. Some of you will have to jog. Some of you will have to walk. No bikes, no skateboards, no cars. This is on foot, moving, not on a skateboard, guys. 2 miles. So whatever. So your first week, if you go out there and you walk 2 miles and you come back with a 22-minute time or whatever, then that's what you put down. That's your 2-mile time. And your goal for the next 5 weeks after that is to beat that 2-mile time. You know, and if you begin week one, you know, you're walking because that's all you can do. And by the end of 6 weeks, you're jogging and you've half that time. Holy shit. That's a huge improvement, you know, and that's an achievable improvement. That's totally achievable. And I would punch anyone in the face if they tried to argue that that's not making you a better survivalist or just a better human and person in general. So that's the first part, your 2-mile time. And I feel that 2 mile, and so does the military, is a sweet spot. You know, if you got to run from zombies, 2 miles will do the job. If you have to escape and evade, 2 miles is a damn good distance. If you have a great 2-mile time, then more than likely you can go a little bit further if you pushed yourself. That's why I chose the 2-mile. It's a damn good distance. And then the next, I went back and forth on this and changed it around. And this is the circuit routine that I want everyone to do that is easy enough and hard enough that everyone should be able to do it. So the movements are 10 burpees, and I'll include links or something, or you can look them up on YouTube. If you don't know what any of these moves are, you should only maybe be confused by burpees, and they suck, and that's why there are only 10 of them. 10 burpees, 20 push-ups, 30 sit-ups, 40 air squats. You do that and you time yourself. So I'm thinking that some people doing that in 10 minutes will be hard. That it'll maybe be 12 minutes, 15 minutes or so to complete those movements for some people that have no fitness whatsoever. And improving on that down to 10 minutes or so or under will be a huge improvement. Some of you people, like Richard, my admin, Grizz, he may look at that and think, man, that's too easy, James. I can do that, you know, asleep. That's no problem, bro. So if you feel that way, if you think that the routine that I just gave you and the two things are different, you don't have to go run the 2 miles and then do this. You have to run the 2 miles and do the timing, and then this has to be done. For God's sake, if you're that buck, you can do them at the same time. Run your 2 miles and then do this routine. So yeah, if you feel that that is too easy, you do not try to get the quickest time doing that. You try to get as many rounds as possible. For you, it becomes a 20-minute AMRAP. For you CrossFit people, you know that term and you may hate it. Mike is back. I was about to message you and just say, don't worry about it.
Why?
I'm about done.
Well, before you go.
But yeah, I'm just finishing up the fitness, so.
Before you go, you have to try this.
Well, hold on.
I want it. What I have just given James is a plate with a small sampling of what I made for dinner tonight, which is low-carb meatloaf. Instead of, I used my favorite meatloaf recipe, and instead, I have replaced, you know, where you normally would have
breadcrumbs
or crushed up crackers. I've used crushed up pork rinds.
I like that sound.
And instead of mashed potatoes, which always goes with that, I have made cheesy mashed rutabaga.
And that'll be interesting because I hate rutabaga. Like, I've tried it and I hate it. So let's finish up this real quick. Yeah. So if you can do that exercise easily and effectively, then you do an AMRAP for 20 minutes. So you get a little clock timer on your phone, you set it for 20 minutes, and you haul ass to get as many rounds as possible. So for you, you're not trying to aim for a time on this because your time is set at 20 minutes. You're counting rounds, and maybe like a dry erase marker. That's what we use in CrossFit, and you just like mark lines. So you just have the marker ready to go. Like you do a round, mark a line, do a round, mark a line, unless you can keep it in your head. But I find that actually the trick that we found that was best was draw a whole bunch of like check marks, mm-hmm. You know, just lines, you know, like you would, but instead of like every five crossing them, just keep making lines. And when you finish a round, take your finger on the dry erase marker and just mark through one of those lines. Hmm. And then you count the lines you've marked through. Because it's a bit quicker than trying to draw a line when you're heaving for breath.
Yeah.
It was just a trick that we did, and it was good. So, yeah. If you only think you can do one round, and it'll probably be around the 10-minute mark, you just do one round, and every week for the 6 weeks, you try to beat that time. If it's going to be too easy for you, then you instead set a timer for 20 minutes, and you try to get as many rounds, and you report in how many rounds you got. Next week, you try to beat that. And if you get a... So, we're going to follow CrossFit rules again here. If you get one... If you get like 4 whole rounds, and then you get a couple burpees, but that's all you get of the next round, you would add 4 plus the amount of burpees you got. So if you got 4 burpees, you would write 4 plus 4. That's how many rounds you got. That's the rules for that. And yeah, like I said, for everyone else, like Mike's going to be, you know.
Mike's going to be learning what the fuck a burpee is.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. So yeah, he's not going to try to be doing. And you know what? And I would amazingly love it if someone started out not able to do, you know, one round really, and at the end they got multiple rounds. If someone's like, oh, I can totally do this, you know, on 6 weeks, and like they go from like trying to beat their time to just doing as many rounds as possible, you win a no prize for sure, my friends. And I don't know, like a lot of the challenges, I'm debating on like, I'm you know what? If you finish it, I'll give every single person a shout out. I don't want to like be like there's one definitive winner because, you know, some guy got 13 rounds, you know, and someone else actually improved far better because they went from not being, you know, physically active at all to actually doing some work at improving. So,
hey, and if you're doing this, everybody is a winner.
Yeah. And like I said, you're not competing with everyone else, although you can. You're only competing with yourself and your own numbers. So it takes that off. Thoughts, Mike?
Oh, I'm definitely going to be down with this. I am going to be trying this. It might even show up on my YouTube channel. What do you think of the rutabaga? I know it's not your bag per se, and you don't look like you're enjoying it. Everybody in my house is, though. The Geisies are a rutabaga loving family. He's still eating it, though, surprisingly enough.
It's the best rutabaga I've had, but I still hate rutabaga.
Yeah, at least you're still eating it. What do you think of the meatloaf?
It's delicious.
Yeah, a lot of people were iffy about me throwing the pork rinds in there, but they seem to have worked out.
I mean, I've had one bite where I could tell there's some like mushy pork rind in there. The rest of it's just been delicious. Mm. I mean, although I like mushy pork rind though. So,
yeah, you're both things about to end up in the rutabagas. Yes, just brought it over enough for you to sample it.
Yeah, I do not like rutabaga.
Yeah, I'm not a big cauliflower fan.
Yeah, I mean whatever works.
We both love potatoes, but they're simple of carbs.
And that's one of the things you can test on the 7-day carb test. You test white potatoes to see how you respond to them. So,
I usually respond with giddiness.
Well, yeah, but I mean, how does your blood sugar like them?
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't like it. It hates it as much as I like it.
Yeah.
And on that terrible disappointment, is it time to end yet?
It's 51 minutes. We'll just call this shit done. And,
so, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sickwin Burnett.
And no, I'm not changing my name to Couch Rutabaga Mike.
DIY to be fit, use guys.
Use guys! I still do that.